morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, and we are getting ready for a Green Bay Packers game against the Minnesota Vikings on Monday Night Football. Going to be a long weekend. It's always long when you got to wait till those Monday night games to watch the Packers, isn't it? Not that that's necessarily a bad thing, right? Is a long weekend a bad thing? It means you got to wait to watch the Packers, but that's a small pittance to pay. You know the Packers are going to play. Good morning, John from Manchester in the United Kingdom. Checking in on Cheesehead TV. Always glad to be reaching overseas as we talk some Packers football. If you want to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags Cheesehead TV, by all means, your comments will get through to our live blog, or just feel free to comment away. Directing our live blog today is Jamie Jors and John Rahor of the blog Eat More Cheese right here at CheeseheadTV.com. And we were supposed to have today on the show a guest, Paul Immig from Fox Sports Wisconsin. We've had to push back that interview. Can't do it today, but we're going to have Paul on eventually. So hang with us as we try to hammer out a new date to get Paul on the show, one of the newest members of the Packers beat, as he reports for Fox Sports Wisconsin. But we'll get that done. Anyhow, we're going to go through some of the headlines making news in the world of the Green Bay Packers. And if you scroll up to the top of the live blog, I left a link to this morning's Packers Daily Links. Please open that, because we're going to talk about some of the things going on at 1265 Lombardi Avenue. The top story today, a new injury for Clay Matthews. Coming from Fox Sports Wisconsin, coming from Paul Immig, actually. He writes, quote, Matthews has missed many practices this season with a quadriceps injury, but on Thursday he was out with a knee injury and did not participate with the rest of the team, end quote. Clay Matthews with a new injury. And as I've pointed out, you know, not that any injury has kept Clay Matthews from playing, which is a good thing. You know, he always plays on Sundays. Nothing ever keeps him out. But isn't this kind of weird how many injuries Clay Matthews has? You know, I mean, go back to his rookie year. He suffered a injury, I believe, in it was like the off-season program right after the draft. You know, one of those mini-camp or OTA type of things. Pulled a hamstring. Kept him out a lot of training camp. Didn't end up playing till the regular season. Last year, he had the fractured shin. Played on it most of the year. A broken leg. Again, that's, you know, that broken sounds worse than it probably was. You know, it's probably one of those stress fracture type of things that you can play with. And he did. Not to minimize, I'm sure Clay Matthews had plenty of pain and had to fight through that. But, you know, just, you know, sometimes the word broken or fracture, you know, people think the worst, and it wasn't quite that bad. And he's had a quadriceps injury that has kept him out of practice a lot this year. He even had a glute strain during the preseason that kept him out of one of the games. Remember that? Remember when everybody was having glute bruises or glute strains? I think it's, as Mike McCarthy would say, that's it's convenient, I think. That was a convenient injury for the Packers to put on their injury report. Any little ailment to protect the players. But anyway, so it is kind of weird, though, that I think, you know, Clay Matthews has all these injuries. But I mean, they never keep him out of a game. He's always there on Sundays, and he's fantastic. We said this many times, how he's playing very well this year, despite not getting any sacks. So, I kept this as the lead story in today's Packers Daily Links. And sometimes I do feel that's kind of misleading. The reason I chose this story, not because I thought it was the biggest story of the day, but because it's one we hadn't really covered on Cheesehead TV already. There were two stories that got a lot of attention yesterday that probably, you know, if I were to, you know, look, you know, of everything that happened in the past 24 hours and say, what's the biggest story? You know, two of them stand out. One of them being the commentary from Packers tight end Andrew Corliss, a Penn State alum, who commented on the situation at Penn State, the sad state of affairs, and that what's happening at Penn State is sad on so many levels. It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe. It's the first and foremost, you know, what the alleged sexual abuse that occurred. I mean that is obviously the vomit inducing saddest part of it all. But I mean, just on top of that, I mean the way Joe Paterno's legacy ended is so sad. I mean, okay, like if you were to say to me a week ago, and this literally broke in less than a week ago, I believe Jerry Sandusky was arrested on, or was it charged? Not charged, arrested last Saturday. So literally 6 days ago. So had you said to me a week ago, you know, that you could see into the future and said, you know, which college football program, there's 120 Division I FBS football programs, is going to have the major scandal at it. Major. Literally the last one, I probably would have guessed. If I would go down the list from 1 to 120, Penn State would be dead last, would have been my 120th choice. I never thought this could happen at Penn State and with Joe Paterno there. And it really is disgusting. I want to stay as removed as far as possible from it, commenting on the details of it until due process does play out. I mean, there's right now, and the allegations, they don't, believe me, I understand how serious these allegations are, but they are just allegations at this point. I want to know what happened. I want to know a ruling. You know, when I hear testimony, things like that, what happened in a courtroom, you know, then I will be outraged. At that point, if they are true, I will be outraged. And, the circumstantial evidence is mounting so much, it's almost hard to believe this stuff isn't true. But anyhow, tight end Andrew Corliss commenting about this, saying basically, you know, the same things everybody else is saying. It's sad. It's reprehensible. Andrew Corliss having a son of his own And, you know, it's tough for him. And I left a quote from one of the writers in today's Packers Daily Links, Tyler Dunn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, writing, quote, "He's also a father. So as the details from the horrific scandal rocking Penn State continue to emerge, Corliss admitted Thursday that it's difficult to feel sorry for the ousted coach. Paterno was fired by Penn State trustees amid anger as to how the coach handled the child sexual assault allegations against former assistant coach Jerry Sandusky." So, you know, I mean, this is, Andrew Corliss is the only former Penn State player on the Packers, and as such, you know, people sought out his comments yesterday, and they're in line with the way a lot of people feel. At least that's the impression I'm giving as I watch coverage of this story, and it is wall-to-wall, everything on every sports channel, and sports talk radio to the internet is just alive with this talk, and it is so sad on so many levels. Unbelievable. Anyhow, another big story yesterday in the world of the Packers, not so much from a national perspective. The national perspective is all caught up in Penn State right now. It's about all anyone could talk about. But from a Packers perspective, defensive lineman Mike Neal practiced yesterday for the first time since training camp. First time. I thought it was interesting. I forgot where I saw this. I think it was in the article by Jason Wilde of ESPNMilwaukee.com. Saying that, you know, since basically Mike Neal was drafted, since he joined the Packers, he has missed 26 out of 28 possible games. Wow. 26 out of 28. I think that's including playoffs. I mean, you last year the Packers played 20 games, in which Mike Neal played in two. And then this year they've played 8 so far, and he hasn't played in any. So 26 out of 28 games. And right now, I mean, it's redemption time for Mike Neal. He finally hit the practice field, and it's you know, he just has to make progress from here. Whether or not he plays on Monday night, I think is kind of beside the fact. I think, you know, forced to guess, I think the Packers will hold him out. Although he has not been ruled out. You know, the Packers came out yesterday right away and said, you know, Chad Clifton, Frank Zombo, out for this week's game. Probably not going to practice later in the week either. So, you know, they come out right away and say that, acknowledge that from the get-go. Don't say that with Mike Neal. Well, I think any time a player practices, they you know, don't say that they're going to be out. But, you know, he practiced, and there's a chance he'll play. I doubt he'll play. And you know, perhaps maybe the biggest reason I don't think he'll play this week is because they don't want to put the stress on Mike Neal coming back from a short week. The Packers play on Monday Night Football this week, and then the following week they have to play on Sunday. So they got to play on 6 days rest, or, you know, 6 days between games. And perhaps it's going to be one of those things where they hold Mike Neal out until the Thanksgiving Day game against the Lions, because he would have to come back from a Sunday game next week and then play. You're only having 4 games. 4 days between games. Actually, 3 days between. You know, they play on Sunday, then they have off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, play again on Thursday. That is always so hard. So, that is my prediction when Mike Neal will return. He will play for the first time on Thanksgiving against the Detroit Lions. Mark it. Mark it, dude. and it's going to be, as I've said many times, baby steps with him. This week he practiced for the first time, and you know, he was basically called a limited participant, and maybe at some point he'll be a full participant, and that's why that'll be the baby steps, and then he'll play on Thanksgiving Day against the Lions, and he won't start. He'll just play. He'll play a little bit, and that's the baby step. And after that, he'll play some more and more. And you're hoping by the end of the season he'll be a regular, and he redeems himself. You know, he's boy oh boy. If Mike Neal hits a speed bump on the way this year, he's really going to get it. You know, as a rookie, and you know, you get a pass for quite a while. It's amazing. You get a pass for quite a while as to how long people give you to, you know, play. By the way, if you want to call into the show, the phone number is area code 646-797-2909. Phone lines are open. If you want to talk about Mike Neal, Andrew Corliss, Aaron Rodgers, or anything regarding the 8-0 Green Bay Packers and their upcoming matchup against the Minnesota Vikings on Monday Night Football, feel free to call into the show and talk about whatever you want to talk about. Or feel free to comment away in the live blog. I will continue to talk about Mike Neal. So, I think he returns for Detroit. That's the guess. That's my guess. Nothing has been said. Don't read into that. But because after that, too, we've talked about the run-up to the Detroit game and how the Packers have little time in between games. Starting with the Detroit game, they get a long time off. So let's say he plays in the Detroit game. And you know, it's going to put stress on that knee that he's injured. And then he has basically a week and a half off until the next game, until the Packers have to play their game following Thanksgiving Day. So that gives him a lot of time to rest. And basically after that, I think the Packers are on a regular schedule from there on out. They play all Sundays for the rest of the year. Do they have one more Monday night game? They might have one more Monday night game, don't they? But anyhow, that's only one day as opposed to the Thanksgiving Day game in which they have short rest. I see a question here on the live blog. John from Manchester. With Zombo out, does Soto get to play? Good question. I've come to the conclusion that you should not bet on it. Not to say it won't happen, but you know, I've been saying this basically for a month now that Soto should be playing. He should be given a chance. But he just hasn't. And Mike McCarthy has argued that he needs to play on special teams, which I think is lame because everybody's looking for what he's going to do on defense. And that's where he played so well in the preseason. So, you know, I wouldn't bet on it, but there is a chance here with, you know, Frank Zombo being out. Maybe they open up a spot for another outside linebacker. And yes, it should be said, Eric Walden is playing the best he's ever played this year. So, for what that's worth, you know, maybe they're not eager to make a change there or let him play. I don't think it'd be a bad idea to rotate them a little bit. Give them a shot. Give them a chance. Put him in certain situational packages, like third and long only when the Packers need a pass rush. Or maybe you play him in running situations because, I mean, Eric Walden's forte is pass rush and not playing the run. So maybe you do give him Vic Soto a chance to play the run instead. But everybody wants to see how it'll impact the pass rush, though. So it's tough. I wouldn't bet on it, But that being said, it wouldn't surprise me if Soto was active. Maybe played a special team unit or two. But I just, you know, it's he's not going to get like this big chance. You know, he's not going to play half the snaps on defense or anything like that. I digress. I think I was talking about Mike Neal and talking about his redemption and talking about if he does get injured this season, how fans are going to get back on top of him, something fierce. He's been getting a lot of criticism. No doubt. If you look at Twitter, it seems like when the injuries occur, things like that, all of a sudden people start comparing him to Justin Harrell, Justin Harrell was with the Packers for 4 years. So Mike Neal's only in his second. And he missed, last year with an injury. Okay, he's got his first real major injury of his career. But then this year, he out in training camp, hasn't played yet. If he can come back, he'll be redeemed at least until the next injury. But holy cow, if he suffers another season ender or something like that, oh boy, that would be a startling development for the Packers. Maybe not startling is the right word. It's maybe what people have come to expect with Mike Neal, but a disappointing development, we'll say. And, I think regardless of Mike Neal's health, the Packers next year somehow need help on the defensive line from some new blood from outside the organization. They are so reluctant, usually, to go the route of free agency, that I'm not sure it'll happen there, and it'll probably most likely happen in the draft. But the Packers really need more defensive linemen. They got to find somebody that they hope is going to be an impact player. And safety as well. Man, you got to believe the Packers are going to draft safeties and defensive linemen, and maybe, as I pronounce the S at the end, multiple safeties, multiple defensive linemen. That's where they really need help, is on defense. Boy, is the offense in good shape. I mean, as you look at this team going forward, do the Packers need to draft anyone on offense? I suppose a year from now, and you kind of perhaps assume that Matt Flynn might be gone, that the Packers are going to have to draft a quarterback to develop at some point to be Aaron Rodgers' backup. Graham Harrell, you think, will be given the first shot, but beyond that, the Packers probably have to develop a backup to Aaron Rodgers. But I mean, they seem to be pretty good on the offensive line. You've got a first-round draft choice, Derek Sherrod, on the bench, a first-rounder who's not playing right now. And they're in pretty good shape there. The receiving core is deep as it gets. They obviously don't need a starting quarterback. The tight end group is as deep as it gets. Running back, I suppose you could look at, perhaps. Even that's pretty good. You don't know what Ryan Grant's going to do in the future. Pointing out on the live blog here, Ted the Sledge says, Howard Green is a 2012 unrestricted free agent. Also, they will need defensive linemen in the draft. Add another cornerback to go along with the safeties. Yes, it's they need help all over the defense. That's where the majority of players they draft in this upcoming draft need to be defensive players. Three quarters of them, at least. Defensive linemen, safeties, throw a cornerback in there, Throw some linebackers in there as well. Nothing wrong with depth. Nothing wrong with depth. And, yeah, so that's hopefully they find an impact player or two. Yeah, the defensive line, it's, you know, there's players there, and you kind of wish that they would step up, the guys they have now, the guys who are kind of the rotational type of guys, Jarius Wynn, C.J. Wilson. They're playing, and they're not the worst in the world, but those guys just don't make much of an impact. Don't make much of an impact at all. Pac fan from Illinois comments, Wells is an unrestricted free agent after this year. Hope he comes back. Interesting. Tuesday, was it Tuesday or Wednesday? I think Tuesday was the deadline for players to sign contract extensions and have their salary still count toward this year's salary cap. And you see that happen a lot, players signing contracts mid-season. The Packers did so last year with Desmond Bishop, Brett Goode, and Tremont Williams. Before that, Aaron Rodgers was a mid-season extension. So was Brandon Chiller at one point. Brandon Chiller no longer with the team. But regardless, the point of those is that, you know, instead of having their money count toward future years, while the Packers still have salary cap space this year, they can count it toward that. And last I checked, the Packers have about $6 million in room. And a lot of people were thinking, okay, when's the next, you know, contract extension coming where they can use up some of that $6 million? And it didn't surprise me that, you know, Jermichael Finley wouldn't be that type of guy. I think he wants to hit unrestricted free agency or force the Packers to use a franchise tag, which that itself is a discussion all its own. But I thought maybe Scott Wells would be extended before this deadline that came and went on Tuesday. He would be the ideal guy. Because the Packers really don't have a long-term, you know, this center that could step in and start if Wells gets hurt. I mean, that guy is Evan Dietrich Smith right now. But, you know, I don't know how confident anybody is in Evan Dietrich Smith being your starting center in 2012 and beyond. You know, so they've got Scott Wells, and maybe we do have to draft a center next year just in case, you know, a guy to develop, a guy to be the backup. That could be the case. But anyway, my point being, I thought it was going to happen, and perhaps maybe it did happen. I said this on Twitter once. Last year, if you remember, Desmond Bishop signed an extension. I don't think we found out about it till December. He actually signed it before that deadline where money is kept toward your current salary cap space. And so anyhow, that, you know, that the Packers, it's possible they did restructure the contract of Scott Wells or somebody else, and we just don't know about it. It's possible. Not to say that's likely or that's what happened, but it is possible. So we wait and see to find out if that happened. Comment from Ted the Sledge, the $6-plus million expiring after they redid Collins to free less than $1 million in 2011 cap space is the head-scratcher of the year. Wasn't that Ryan Grant that they redid the contract? I'm not aware that they restructured Nick Collins' contract. Unless I missed it. I thought it was Ryan Grant who had the restructured contract. But anyhow, that's what's happening in the world of the Green Bay Packers. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us today on Railbird Central this morning on Cheesehead TV. It's going to be a long weekend. Hope everybody has a good weekend on this Friday as we wait for the Packers game on Monday Night Football against the Minnesota Vikings. And have a good weekend, everyone. Make sure to come back next Monday here in Railbird Central. We'll be previewing the Packers game Monday morning, same time, same place, 8:30 Central time. Take care, everyone. Have a good weekend. Go, Pack, go. I leave you with the song called Freaker by the Speaker by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records.